He has an online fan club devoted to promoting his innocence, but he confessed in prison to almost anyone who would listen. Although he also evidently ate his own feces while he was in solitary confinement, so can you really trust the words coming from his own mouth? This is the story of even more interesting and sometimes shocking things to come out of the Delphi murder trial so far. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I wasn't going to do another video on the Delphi case because I know so many people are covering it, but it seems like a lot of you appreciate getting a recap, and I'm doing all of the reading anyway just for myself, and I honestly want to talk about it with people. As you probably know, Richard Allen is on trial right now for the Delphi murders of Abby Williams and Libby German. The two teenagers, 13 and 14 years old, were walking along the Monon High Bridge in Carroll County, Indiana, on February 13, 2017, when they made a Snapchat recording of Bridge Guy, the man who suspected of killing them soon after. Their bodies were found on the bank of Deer Creek the next day, their throats cut multiple times. More than 5 years later, 50-year-old local Richard Allen was charged with their murders based on a gun he owned and his own admission that he was on the trail that day. Although he's confessed many times from the prison where he was being held before trial, his lawyers say he had a psychological breakdown and didn't know what he was doing. His trial began on October 18, 2024, and I made a video about the things that stood out to me about the first few days, but so much more has happened. Here are the latest revelations. One, an Indiana State Police sergeant testified that he extracted data from 23 devices of Richard Allen's. Someone had used one of the devices to search for information about the girls, but the phone wasn't in direct contact with them. The phone Richard Allen had in 2017 when the girls went missing wasn't one of the devices collected, meaning something had happened to it between 2017 and 2022. Although I'm under the impression that Allen was holding on to every old cell phone he'd ever had as part of these 23 devices, so it's a bit of a coincidence that this one, maybe the only one that really mattered, was missing. As a side note, I thought it was cute that a digital forensics expert testified that Libby had her father listed as Daddy-O in her phone contacts. We so often focus on who killed these girls and not who the girls were, you know. Authorities say Allen claimed he was on his phone that day on the trail looking at stocks, so it's especially interesting that they can't find any phone activity from him in the area. Two, the forensic pathologist who did their autopsies estimates that Abby and Libby were alive for 4 to 10 minutes after the cuts to their necks hit major veins and arteries. I know no one wants to talk about any of this, but hearing that Libby was slashed 4 or 5 times in overlapping wounds just lets you know how much of a monster this killer was. The only small bit of relief is that they were probably already unconscious in their last moments. A crime scene investigator testified that Libby was probably dragged across the ground after the wound to her throat. Not only was there blood on her feet like she had stepped in it, but her hand was up above her head when she was found, like she had been pulled using her arm. Many people have asked why there wasn't more blood at the scene after the crime scene photos were leaked, and that could at least explain why for Libby. Abby was likely tied up in some way or unconscious when she was cut because she didn't seem to have reached for her throat and gotten blood on her hands like people usually do. People who discuss the blood or lack thereof at the crime scene are usually making the argument that the girls were taken somewhere to be killed and then brought back later. The defense says this crime scene investigator who testified was never at the crime scene and only looked at photos later. Allen's lawyer also implied there were no drag marks at the scene, although an Indiana State policeman corrected him that there were. There just weren't drag marks from a tree found with blood on it to the girl's final resting place. The tree is where a blood spatter expert believes Libby was wounded. Now, an interesting thing about this tree is that I've seen so many people talk online about how it proves the girls were sacrificial murders by a pagan cult. As I mentioned in my last video, the defense says that sticks were arranged over the bodies in a pattern that suggests a rune or an ancient spiritual symbol. And people who support this theory say the tree the girls were found near had a letter F painted on it as part of the ritual. But this blood spatter expert says the blood was actually more of an upside-down L when luminol was used on it, and it was left there by Libby's hand, so not by any cult. 3, a witness testified that she saw a man near the entrance to the trail system on the day of the murders who seemed sketchy as he walked along the county road. She called him muddy in early interviews with police and then said he was bloody in interviews 2 years later. She said she also noted the blood in early interviews, but that wasn't in the transcript. She also said Bridge Guy was wearing a tan coat in her first interviews, but after the Bridge Guy video was released to the public, she decided the coat was blue. She says the mud might have confused her about the color. 4, during a search of Allen's house, where they found a bunch of knives and a box cutter in his kitchen, a police lieutenant testified that he told Allen to file a complaint if they did any damage. Like, if we break anything, you can file for compensation. And Allen said, "It doesn't matter, it's over." Not, "You will rue the day you dared break any of my—" which is what I would say, but "it's over." Of course, you can argue that Allen had already admitted to being on the trails that day. So if the police were coming for him, maybe he thought there was no hope for him, whether he was guilty or not. 5, there was an Indiana Department of Natural Resources captain helping with the investigation early on, and he was the one who first interviewed Allen about being on the trail that day. Allen came to authorities on his own to let them know that he'd been there, I want to reiterate. But this investigator says that Allen told him in 2017 that he was on the trail between 1 and 3:30 p.m., which is different from what Allen's defense said early in the trial, that he had left the area by 1:30. The chief of the Delphi PD at the time testified that in 2022, Allen told him that he arrived at the trail around noon and left sometime before 2 p.m. So it seems like Allen's story changed between the time when he willingly came forward and when the case had been making news for years and he was a suspect. This captain from the Department of Natural Resources also says he found it odd that just weeks after their interview in 2017, Allen changed his height and weight when applying for a new fishing license. Usually adults get shorter as they age, not taller. The implication is that Allen was trying to appear to be a different height in case authorities knew how tall Bridge Guy was. On the stand, an investigator said they never paid to have Bridge Guy's height analyzed because it's inaccurate, although an analyst said they can usually get within 2 inches. 6, when a volunteer at the Carroll County Prosecutor's Office came across Allen's file in a box of old tip sheets in 2022, she remembered that an eyewitness had reported seeing a guy on the trail at the same time Allen said he was on the trail. She took the file to the chief deputy at the sheriff's office to give it a second look. They discovered that Allen had a couple of vehicles, one of which was a black 2016 Ford Focus. And a black Ford Focus was seen on a security camera driving toward the trail around 1:30 p.m. In a police interview, Allen was quote-unquote wishy-washy about where he had parked that day. There was a car seen on security footage parked near the trail on the day the girls were killed, and although you can't see the license plate nor the driver, you can see it was backed into the spot. And on the day authorities went to Allen's job at CVS to take a picture of his license plate, Allen had also backed his car into his spot. It's one of those little circumstantial things that doesn't matter on its own, but they do add up. Like when Allen was interviewed and told the chief of the Delphi PD that he was wearing a blue or black Carhartt jacket, jeans, and a beanie style of hat on the trail that day. Every 4th guy in Delphi probably owns a Carhartt jacket. But were they wearing it on the same trail on the same day 2 girls went missing? 7, a state police firearms expert testified about the ammunition that was found at the scene of the crime. It had been cycled through a gun, ejected out, but not fired. The police think it could have been an attempt to scare the girls, like, look, there are real bullets in here. The defense suggested that firearms testing is less accurate than a paternity test, which seems like a strange connection to make to me. Like, the defense attorney himself said that paternity testing is only 99% accurate. And the firearms expert basically said, right, and firearms testing is 98% accurate? I don't know, maybe this is a gotcha in the eyes of some people, but I can't imagine a jury being swayed by 1%. The defense said the expert's testing was inaccurate because she examined a fired round when, of course, the bullet at the scene was found unfired. But she said firing the round causes more pressure, which makes the markings on the bullet stand out more. The tooling inside a gun causes marks on a bullet because the metal of the bullet is softer, and she wanted to make those marks more evident so she could examine them. She said the bullet found at the scene of the crime appeared to have been cycled through the Sig Sauer P226 40 caliber handgun Allen owned. Allen has said he never let anyone borrow his gun, but no DNA profile was able to be developed from the small item. Still, the defense says some scientists are critical of firearms testing, which allows for some subjectivity. But just one other thing. When authorities were conducting their search of Allen's home, a 40 caliber round was found in what the investigator called a keepsake box. There's no telling why he was keeping it, but it's just one of those things that makes you wonder. 8. A state police forensic scientist testified that the hair found in Abby's hand after her death belonged to Libby's sister, which is what I guessed in my last video. The sister gave them a ride to the trail that day, and Abby borrowed her sweatshirt, so it's not at all surprising. This was one of the defense's big trial reveals, like it was a smoking gun in favor of someone else having committed the crime, so I'll be curious if they bring it up again in closing arguments. 9. Guards who had contact with Allen while he was in custody testified about his confession starting in March 2023. One said Allen lamented that he wanted to end his own life because he killed the girls. Another said Allen admitted that he wanted to abuse the girls in a sexual manner, but killed them when he got scared. Allen also allegedly confessed to the way he murdered them with a box cutter that he later threw away in a dumpster behind the CVS where he worked. Another guard said Allen declared that he was sorry for killing the girls. Allen's defense says he was in solitary confinement in a tiny room where he was fed through the door despite being innocent until proven guilty. But a former warden said he had recreation 5 days a week and was able to use tablets on his own time. Allen's prison psychologist testified that she thinks he was acting out on purpose when he talked to himself and consumed his own feces. She thinks he was trying to get them to bring in his wife for a visit or get himself transferred to a different prison. She's since come to believe that he also has a serious mental illness, though. Allen admitted to the murders to her as well, saying he cut the girls' throats and covered them with branches. The crime scene photos were leaked online in October 2023, but it sounds to me like the psychologist is saying he mentioned the cause of death and the appearance of the crime scene in early 2023, before that information was public. So maybe it's something only the killer would know? Although crime scene photos could have been included in discovery materials given to Allen by his lawyers. His psychologist testified that he told her he's an alcoholic with an addiction to sex and that he assaulted his young sister. A prison guard testified that Allen confessed he may have also touched his daughter, but can't remember. The guard said Allen had an erection while telling him this. Some have pointed to the fact that Allen's daughter hasn't been supporting him in court like his wife has, but there's a chance she's on the witness list and isn't allowed to hear other testimony. But there's also a chance she just plain doesn't support him. The defense says the psychologist was far too interested in the case, followed it closely online, and sometimes shared information with Allen. So basically, she can't be trusted because she's too invested in the case to be neutral. At the time of this recording, the jury is hearing calls from Allen to his wife where he confesses the murders to her, despite her telling him not to. So those are the things that have stood out to me so far. Now, I will say that Allen denied killing the girls at his police interview 20 or more times in October 2022. The jury has seen his heated interrogation video, their first time hearing his voice. I'll also say that the chief deputy in Carroll County at the time was running for county sheriff in 2022, so having this huge arrest under his belt certainly wouldn't have hurt his chances of winning. I obviously don't know the answer here, and I'm not trying to convince you one way or the other. But the more I look into this case, the more I just think Allen probably did it. It's like I said, the little circumstantial things just add up for me. Like, here's one more. Allen told his prison psychologist that when he got scared and killed the girls, it's because a van driving near the trail spooked him. And the guy that owns the property next to the trail testified that he drove his white van home at about 2:30 that day. Libby's phone stopped moving at 2:32 p.m. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.